Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
Welcome back to Valk's Valley, and specifically to Brian, who was not on our last episode because I was able to quickly, before I went on vacation, talk to Anya Armentrout. And so it's been a couple weeks.
Sure I was on the episode. I was before the interview. We did a little something.
Yeah.
Remember?
True. We didn't have a long discussion. We were able to recap the game. But I'm sure you have takes, you have lots of thoughts, you have things that you've been wanting to talk about, so we'll talk about them here. I guess the first thing, because this has just been I guess I should have expected it. This is a brand new franchise, Bay Area, learning to appreciate, learning to love, becoming fans of some of these players. And one, Julie Van Loo was waived by the Valkyries, and you saw her social media post, which made it sound like she had no idea that this was coming. She was her country had just finished winning Eurobasket, and she was on her way back, and she wanted to join the Valkyries as soon as she could, and they waived her. And I don't know what the communication was there. I haven't heard anybody on the Valkyrie side actually explain. So before we even critique what that scenario was, I'd like to see their side of things. But beloved player, like I would say the most beloved player in the history of Bay Area sports, who was only on the team for like a handful of games. Like that was impressive how the fans really embraced just not only her, but just like the loss. It was like, oh my gosh, we're losing one of our own. Like this is insane. And it kind of caught everyone off guard. Before we even get into the why, what was your initial thought when you saw that come across? I think it was probably Twitter.
I mean, I've been hinting that I thought that there could be someone from the initial 12 waived if they wanted to keep one of Amihir or Chen. I just didn't think it would be Van Loo. I kept saying Talbot. But she keeps starting, and I kind of felt like she was maybe starting more because they didn't have Janelle versus like, oh, Talbot's just this great starter. Like, I think she is a really good player. I think she is a good player. That's why I was saying I thought you can get something for her in a trade, because she's a vet. She does what you want her to do. She doesn't do like much more, right? Like, it's like she'll rebound, she'll pass, she'll shoot, she'll do all the right plays. I just didn't expect someone with like Van Loo, you know, loved by the fans, kind of like can be really on, can also be really off a little bit. Like I didn't, that just didn't cross my mind. I thought that all the Eurobasket players were like, and I've told you, I told on this podcast, I was watching Eurobasket. Unfortunately, I didn't watch the finals, which sounded like the best game, but all of the Valkyries were like first team all Eurobasket, second team Eurobasket. You stay won like the Rookie of the Year award for that tournament.
Yeah.
You know, Van Loo, second team, Xander Lissini, first team, Salon. I don't know where she ended up, but she should have been up there if she wasn't. I think that's just because they might have lost a little too early. But I just didn't expect it. Didn't expect, neither did Julie, it sounds like. There were some quotes today from practice. They had practice.
Oh, I didn't see them.
Wednesday afternoon, it's over. And a few of the beat writers or beat reporters asked Nakase about the situation. And she kind of, she was saying, you know, like it's, she's, you could tell, like, she doesn't like doing this. She doesn't like cutting players. Like,
she's mentioned that they just need more players. She's like, I wish we had 15 roster spots.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, that's a topic amongst itself that everyone agrees there should be more roster spots. You know, I wonder how they do that, because in the NBA you have 15, but you have 3 2 ways, but then you don't have a G League in the WNBA. So are those players just like, how do you work with the activation stuff? Like, if they count for a game towards the two way, or do you just do a taxi squad like we do in our sleeper league, mm-hmm. where, you know, you can't do that, player just basically is like a red shirt unless you bring them out and then they're officially against the roster count. I don't know. Just so you could have that player rostered. That's a whole different discussion, but yeah, she was kind of, see that. I know you said we don't want to critique, and I don't want to critique, but I think we should set the scene, right? Belgium won the Eurobasket tournament, a team that Julie Van Loo is on, a team that former Valkyrie Kiara Linskins is on, or team slash country that Emma Miseman represents. And they beat Spain in the championship round, which I forget if, you know, it solidifies you a spot in the Olympics or kind of what the... What happens after winning that, but there was a like kind of parade ceremony thing where you meet with like the royalty, like the Belgium, like, I don't know if it's the king or queen, or I don't know how they're, if they, what they got going on over there, but it sounds like a, you know, a celebration with the fans and with some people. And Julie, because of, I don't think it's because of the prioritization rule, because I don't think she fits the qualifications of the prioritization rule, because it's 2 years of service and this is like her second year or something. So I think it's after 2 years it counts. But I think she wanted to get back as quick as possible to maybe be with the team for this Wednesday practice or something, or just get mm-hmm. back to the Bay Area. I'm sure she's got all her belongings there right now. And she gets back, and I think it was when her flight landed in San Francisco that she learned that she got cut. So she missed the celebration, which is what's being critiqued right now, I think, of like, should have let her just, if you were going to cut her, you should have just let her go. But we don't know, you know, if the Valkyries were aware of this, maybe they should have been. But I think there's a question of maybe I think they indirectly marketed themselves as, hey, European players, come play for us. Like, we understand your value. We understand that you have these obligations. Come play with us. We'll work through it. That's kind of what I was feeling post expansion draft, you know, some of the offseason pickups in Salon and Linskins, and maybe those were the only two for the offseason, but it just seemed like there was a clear, and then the draft pick of Eustay, it just seemed like mm-hmm. a clear, like, we're kind of going to be international heavy. And then to maybe do one of those players dirty, but we don't know yet, but it kind of, you know, based on, I don't know if you're how familiar you are with Emma Miseman, but she is like, I think Richard Cohen thinks she's the best player in the world.
Didn't somebody say, so, or somebody made a funny tweet, like, if you brought her, you know, they have a spot, they have money. If you brought her in after this break is over, then like all hell breaks loose or something like that.
You have your 1A. You have not 1A, you have your 1. That's your 1. They get Miseman. That's their 1. You could seriously say.
Does nobody have her rights?
Nope.
How is that even
her
possible?
Last appearance is finals MVP in like 2022.
Okay. I did see a quote by Natalie Nakase, and she said something to the effect of, the way that you show them respect is to bring them in and tell them face to face. That was their reasoning for not telling her before she took her plane ride or something. So I sense that the WNBA and in the history of the league, it is very tough. It is very cutthroat. It is very business oriented because they have so many spots. And not that the players should know this or be aware of it or always be on eggshells, but I'm sure for Julie, she's not a rookie, right? She kind of understands the business of basketball. And you could tell in her social media posts, she was very smart and strategic about not blaming and about mentioning how much she loved her experiences. So she is a pro's pro in that way. Now, I want to give you a little bit of numbers as far as why this move may not have been a terrible move just from a basketball on the court perspective. So I was looking at this, and the problem is that she only played 9 games. So you have a half of a season sample, whereas Kayla and Veronica have played 16 games. So when you look just at the numbers, your normal basketball stats, she's the worst player when it comes to plus minus. She's a minus 8.9. Now, to give her a little bit of credit, they gelled chemistry wise, like just recently, you know, the last 9 games or something is when they really kicked off their run. So she was only a little bit of a part of that. She also shot the third most threes a game, and she only made 21% of those threes.
What's that stack up against the rest of the squad?
So from a three-point shooting perspective,
is she even the worst?
No, she is not the worst, because Carla is at 10% off of 2.3 attempts per game. Monique Billings is 19% off of 1.5 attempts per game. And then it was Julie at 21.1% off of 4.2 attempts per game. Someone like Kayla shoots almost 7, and she's getting closer to 30%. The best three-point shooter on the team, only in a small sample size, obviously, was Xander Lissini. So we'll see if she continues.
Like Bibby was probably up there too.
Bibby was at 42.1.
Yeah.
So she was second. And so just a couple of other numbers. I'm not here to make Julie sound like a terrible player in any way. But the thing that I wanted to look at more closely, because if you watch the games, the thing that stands out about Caitlin is Caitlin plays like a very a point guard who protects the basketball is kind of how I see it.
She kind of feels like an old school NBA point guard. You're not getting like, you know, there's not like this really, really good thing like that. You know, she's not a great 3-point shooter. She's not a great scorer. She's honestly not even a great, like Julie's a better facilitator than she is, but she just like does all the right things and like does all the hustle plays, dives on the ground all the time, makes the right pass, like kind of like a, like, she's kind of like Veronica Burton, honestly.
Caitlin has one turnover per game in 19.3 minutes per game. She's only played 4 games. Julie in at 20 minutes per game, she was averaging 2.6 turnovers per game.
What are the assist splits for both players?
This is where Julie wins, essentially, because she is the second leading assist person on the team behind Veronica Burton. Veronica averages 5.2, Julie averages 4.1. And it's very clear, if you watch the games, that Julie is going to make plays that Caitlin will not even attempt to make. Right. Especially on passes, you know, getting the ball up, fast breaks. Caitlin is going to be a little bit more guarded in those moments, at least so far.
Yeah,
Caitlin could,
and that,
you know,
I agree. It's also like it's also not a diss to Caitlin. Julie's just a really gifted passer. Like, she's just really gifted in that field. She sees the plays. She sees, you know, the skip passes. She sees the pick and roll. Like, she just knows how to get it to the roller and you know, like a. Again, yeah, not a diss to Caitlin. Julie's just a really gifted facilitator.
Yeah, it's very clear. Like, she wants to play up-tempo basketball.
Yes.
She wants to push. She's pulling up for 3 off of the break. And maybe doing some things that maybe was a little antithetical to how they wanted to play. Though, as we know, Natalie wants them to shoot threes. You know that they shoot the most threes per game. And they they have the worst percentage by far.
I say this every podcast. That's what I was doing before the podcast. I just went to team stats traditional and just started filtering like, okay, what are they leading in? They actually lead in rebounds now.
Yeah.
I forget if they led in rebounds before, but they're 37.6 per game. Second is Atlanta Dream with 37.1. I think they're third in defensive rebound, third in offensive rebound. So that makes them first in rebounding. But yeah, 3-point attempts, number
and
one.
Some
in the
of those offensive
30.1.
rebounds come off of those 3-point attempts too.
Yeah, long misses. So 30.1 3-pointers attempts per game. And then percentage wise, they're the worst at 28.7. So hypothetically, Julie fit in with what they wanted to do. Take a lot of threes and miss them.
And at the same time, very easy to like. She had this little thing with KD. Fun story. KD, former Warriors player. Just seemed like she had great fun spirit on the court. So yeah, like I understand the frustration. But again, it's like also this like, you know, early franchise stuff. You create your favorites. We didn't even have anybody to cheer for a couple of months ago. And then you watch the team play and you find your favorites. And I can definitely see why Julie was beloved. So now take the play into consideration. It makes a little bit of sense.
Yeah, it kind of felt like they were chasing that first game. Like that first game was like, it was like, oh my God, like, can she start for every single game for the rest of the year? Just see those, that third quarter, three straight threes or whatever. I was in the building. It was so electric. That might be the most electric Chase Center's been that I've been to. You know, I've been to like five games now. But yeah, it kind of felt like that was like her best game was the very first one. And, you know, she might have picked it up coming back from Eurobasket. I don't think it's like, I think, you know, it's the initial shock. You start to look into the numbers. You're like, okay, this makes a little bit more sense. It was just the initial shock of, yeah, felt like a fan favorite. I wonder, like, what do you think, you know, that signals to us? Like, that I haven't really nailed down what I think yet. Maybe it's just, you know, they're going to favor. Maybe I part of it crossed my mind is Natalie Nicasse kind of like, you know, never coached under Kerr, but kind of Kerr-ish. Like, is there some doghouse, like the talent kind of might hit some DMPs while we favor some of these players that, you know, work with what they're doing, might not have this amazing skill. You know, I'm sure Warriors fans who hear this are like, oh, like Anthony Lamb, or like, you know, Anthony Lamb over Kuminga or Moody and stints, like Lester Quinones over some of those guys, just guys who can figure it out because they've kind of been,
don't screw up and yes, maybe don't create opportunities, but just don't screw up at the same time.
Yes. Caitlin Chen, I think was a fifth year. I think, you know, Princeton and then I forget if she finished out, it was her fourth or fifth year in UConn, but she's 23, same age as Janelle. Carla's 21. Just kind of, yeah, that's kind of what Caitlin's giving me. And like, again, I don't mean disrespect to Caitlin Chen. I think she's been very fun to watch and the fan base is clearly behind her, but I'm not sure if you could tell me, like, you know, what is her best skill, like what's her ceiling? You know, I don't think you can convince me of anything above maybe a starting point guard one day. And that's really good. That is a good, you know, ceiling to have. But
what about Carla? Carla has been injured.
Okay. Do we think like that still feels a little weird to me? I think I said last podcast, I was like, she got a weird DMP in Connecticut versus Connecticut when the game we went to. And Nicasse was asked about it afterwards. And she said, I just wanted to give Caitlin Chen an opportunity. Nothing had to do with injury. And then I was like, okay, let's keep an eye on this. Like, the next game, is Carla going to get a DMP? Mm-hmm. And it actually became that she has injured her back somehow.
She has not
maybe
played
previous
since.
She has not played. Like, is there, I don't know. Like, it was so clearly not an injury thing. And now it's an injury thing. And it sounded like the injury was what? Was it the Dallas game that they're saying she got injured?
Maybe Natalie was doing a little bit of gamesmanship because Carla has this reputation of being a smaller player who gets bounced around. And so maybe she was trying to protect that a little bit. And then it did turn into something. It was weird the way that they handled it. But I'm hopeful that it's just Carla's got to work some things out. But let's say Carla is healthy. You got to imagine she gets those minutes that Caitlin's been getting, but at the same time, they're playing their best basketball with Caitlin as the backup point guard. Like, they're clearly playing their best basketball of the season these last several weeks.
I agree.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant with American Giant. They aren't affected by tariffs because their clothing products never left the U.S. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So that's going to be interesting how you, and so we can actually talk about this now, which is you have all of these players. So also they waived Chloe Bibby. They waived Bree Hall. In addition to Julie and Letitia Amihir and Caitlin Chen, they were kind of the ones that we were worried about. Right now, they're both on the team. What about Ileana Rupaire? I've seen mixed stories about whether or not she's going to play, but if she does come to the team, they are desperate in need of a big. And so, what do you think happens there if Rupaire comes back and is playing for the rest of the season? Carla could go on some sort of injured list, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that works in the WNBA as far as when you're trying to find spots for players like that.
No, I mean, someone would have to be waived. They have to keep the 12 unless, yeah, I guess there is maybe some sort of like IL injured list that I don't know. But yeah, I think I've tried to keep us updated on this podcast, but the news that we heard from Ileana Rupaire, she was on some French broadcast before the year started, and she said she was going to come after Eurobasket, and you know it was all in French, so I'm just believing a translator. But that's what I remember seeing and hearing. And Natalie was asked about it today about Rupaire, and she said, you're going to have to ask the front office. Like, I don't know. And Ohemma was not made available today, which would have been where the quotes came from for Julie that I would have, you know, been like very interested to hear. But yeah, Eurobasket's over. We have no update on Rupaire. Salon and Zanda Lucini are back.
Do you know if they're playing this weekend?
Gotta imagine. Temi already played, right?
Yeah, like, Temi played.
Temi did get knocked out an entire round before. So like an entire less week of her playing Eurobasket. But you'd have to think, because I also wonder, like, now that those players are back, do you think they go back to the starting lineup, which should be Burton, Zanda Lucini, Thornton, Salon, and Temi, or do they kind of ease their way back into it with, you know, they've been this starting lineup with Monique at the five,
yeah,
with Talbot at the four, Kayla, Veronica, and Tip. Oh, you know what? Tip has to start. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, I think
Tip,
so.
Tip has to start. So.
And you know what would be interesting is they have if you could kind of recreate Talbot and Monique Billings, and probably talking Kate, and then figure out one of the guards as your second team, because they have great chemistry in the starting lineup, and you just kind of move them to the second team and you just run with the same group because they've been playing so well together, whether that's Veronica or Caitlin. But I think Tiffany Hayes would be amazing with that group, just to kind of be the one person who could get a bucket when they need it. So that's the thing that I think is most intriguing, because what happens if you bring back Janelle and Zandalasini, and then they kind of like chemistry wise they stutter a little bit. I forgot to mention Kayla. Obviously, Kayla got hurt in the last game. She didn't even finish the game. I haven't heard about her if she's okay. But it seemed like she got hit in the neck or maybe had a headache. Or I'm sure they were worried about concussion, but I haven't heard anything about it. But like there are so many lineups that they can put together. But really, it almost is like going back to the first game of the season and trying to find the chemistry again. But that's why I would keep some of those players together in the second unit just because they've been playing so well together. But then does your first unit suffer because of that? Though you would have Veronica and Kayla with that first unit. So at least they've been playing the entire season. They've been the two best players all season long. So it's going to be fun to see how they do it because there is expectation. Now, we talked about this last time. All of a sudden, you kind of expect them to win, which I know you don't want. You did not want it to be like that because you wanted
not,
to protect the draft
not that I
position.
Totally didn't want it. But yeah, I think, you know, kind of putting stake in the draft and having players that you had, you know, that were stuck on a contract, you know, like it. Yeah, everyone's a free agent next year, you know. I think in the long run, this sets them up as it seems like everyone's having a great time in this Bay Area. It seems like Julie was like genuinely like excited to return to San Francisco. Like that's so good for this team in the long run to attract free agents. I just thought that if they get a good pick, I think it's a good draft at the top.
I just want to make this mention real quick for folks who are watching us on YouTube. We do have an audio feed. If you are the audio podcast person, as well, you can catch all of our episodes by searching for BSPN - Bay Area Sports Podcasting Network. If you just search for BSPN, you will find us, but there's been some BSPNs in the past that don't really update anymore, but we're still stuck behind them. Hopefully soon enough, we'll be ahead of them. But
also, I wanted to shout out, now that you mentioned kind of where to find us, like I recently typed in Valkyries on podcast search. We're nowhere to be found, but I want to
you know why?
Because our name isn't Valkyries.
Yeah, our channel is not Valkyries.
That'd probably be an easier way for people to find us if we eventually figure out how to do that. But I want to shout out a few podcasts that I've been listening to for the Valkyries. The Valkyries Say Less podcast. It's been very entertaining. It's like these two women who are like teachers, and the podcast almost feels like this fun educational, like they're the two cool subs that you used to have or two cool teachers. And, you know, each podcast is like dedicated to a player and getting to know them. And there's like trivia in there. Been very fun to listen to. Definitely recommend.
I think they were actually featured on one of the broadcasts, like the KPIX broadcast, which is really cool.
I think there's one called the 13th Team. Gentleman in, is it Australia, I think, that maybe is doing a podcast as well. So I just love seeing all the additional Valkyries podcasts going. There's a KALW one, kind of feels like The Daily, if you've ever listened to The Daily, but for Valkyries.
Oh, like, no way.
Not as frequent, of course, not every day, but kind of the vibe I get from it. So just a lot of cool stuff. And yeah, you won't find us if you go type in Valkyries.
Maybe on YouTube. I haven't tried it on YouTube. We'll see about YouTube. I mean, we would have to split this podcast out of the main feed, which, you know, could be something to think about if it makes sense down the line. Okay, so the upcoming schedule I thought was really interesting.
It's a tough schedule. I just looked at it.
Valkyries are 9-7, and on the Sabrina scale, I think they moved into the top five on the Sabrina scale this week. But here's our true test at the Lynx on Saturday. By the way, this whole week off because of the Commissioner's Cup and stuff, like I get it, but teams could have played this week. They just could have spaced out the last couple weeks, which are kind of brutal for some of these teams. But I wonder why teams didn't play this week.
I have
Fourth
no,
of July, yeah. maybe? I don't know.
That would have been, what a great, you know, just give the WNBA a holiday. You know, they've got some good ones, you know, with the, I guess, trying to think, like, We went to the June. No, we did not go to the Juneteenth game. That was cool, but we went to like a during Pride Month. But 4th of July, you know, you just grab a holiday and say that's ours. That's all these sports leagues love to do.
Well, the Major League Baseball just creates a hat for it and has everyone wear a 4th of July hat.
I forgot. Yeah, MLB hat does 4th of July.
So you have Lynx, then you have Atlanta Dream on Monday. So only one day off. So
we have we have yet to see the Atlanta Dream. I think that's the one team we have yet to see. We've seen Indiana, we've seen Vegas, we've seen Minnesota, we've seen Phoenix, seen Seattle. Just going through it. I think that's the last team. Because we saw Chicago for the first time. I think it's just Atlanta. How interesting. And we only play them. Oh, no, we do play them twice. But yeah, we haven't seen Atlanta yet.
And then one day off again, and then another game. And you play the Commissioner Cup champion, Fever. I imagine Caitlin's got to be back by then. But they were able to beat Minnesota without her, which was kind of amazing.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
And then the Aces. So this is, we're talking a 4-game road trip here. Lynx, Dream, Fever, Aces. So we're going to have a lot of basketball to talk about. And then aren't you going to Vegas next weekend?
I am, for the NBA Summer League.
So we'll figure out when to record our next episode. I'm guessing probably on Thursday, if we can get it in. But yeah, so next week is like, well, starting Saturday is a crazy 4-gamer. And, you know, if they can go 2-2, I think that would be a fantastic road trip. If you go, you're running through those teams, all quality basketball teams.
Yeah.
And you go 2-2. I think that's fantastic.
I agree.
Okay. Let's chit chat a little bit about this expansion stuff. Wait, let me see. Do I got my little gimmick here? Okay, here we go. Around the WNBA, Cleveland, Detroit, and Philadelphia adds 3 more expansion teams to next year's Toronto and Portland. So 2026, you get Toronto and Portland. 2027, Cleveland. Do I have that wrong? Or is it what year skips? Because I think Philly is 2030. But essentially, over the next 5 years, we're adding 5 more teams, so we get up to 18. And I just remember, you remember when Kathy Engelbert was on the Bill Simmons podcast, and he was like, "The only advice I have is like just don't expand too fast because that just waters down the teams." And she's like, "Hold my beer." But at the same time, I very much understand it because they're hot. Like you look at the, that number came out of how much the Valkyries are worth as a franchise and everyone's number went up. You see still the popularity of Caitlin and then even Paige, like Paige is starting in the All-Star game. So, you know, I think the newbies who kind of came in through NIL, they already come in really popular because of NIL and women's college basketball, of course, is also a very popular sport. And so they're elevating other folks, Angel, as well. So I think it's an interesting thing. And, you know, I've seen some positives and negatives in the expansion. But what do you think about them getting to 18 teams over the next 5 years?
I mean, great stuff. More roster spots, but I know that, you know, they still want to, the players now are kind of like, well, let's also, you know, keep in mind the players now of, you know, there's a lot of players that do not have a team. How can we help the players now? But also, you know, adding those teams, adding those markets as well. NBA, you know, kind of associated with the NBA, with the Pistons, with the Cavs, with the 76ers, like we're going to get to the 30 eventually. Like I have no doubt in my mind that this is just going to keep going up. You know, that's why I felt it in I think it was 20. I've mentioned on the pod a couple times, but I remember my first, like, I've always known who like the top players were, but when that Arizona game was happening, when you guys were visiting for my, I think it was my graduation or something, or in 2021, and it was Arizona versus Stanford, and Stanford beat Arizona. I was like, holy crap, this was an incredible game. And then you could just start to feel, oh, okay, the Bay Area is going to get a team. And just been so much momentum. And then Caitlin and Angel, and just, it's just, Paige just keeps being like this. Now we have Juju to look forward to. And there's, it's just, I think, you know, like I said, like, I think there was maybe, you know, when it comes to like these younger players, like parents in the growing up, putting their kids through the AAU circuit, like, I think I've said this before, but on the Arizona team, there's a woman named Maya Najee, who was the top recruit. And you might recognize that name because she's related to Zeke Najee, former Arizona player who's on the Nuggets. And she left the team after being a top recruit after like 1 or 2 years and was like, I'm going to go pursue like neuro surgery or something, like, because like, not only go for it, you know, that's amazing, but like, she can go get paid way more than, you know, now that there's a realistic, like there's an upwards trend, you know, we'll see with this, the cap spike when, you know, they have the media deal go in. If it's like Sabrina said, maybe it's 4X. So like you have players signing for 4 years, 4 million, like by the next thing, it just starts to become a very realistic career path. Now it's still the 1% of the 1%, right? But maybe there's some, you know, maybe there are some jujus that were like, you know, the parents were like, we're not going to invest everything into this AAU circuit, into your development, because this might not be a realistic career path in terms of, you know, making some money. And now that just feels like it won't even be a conversation. They need to get the that split down, right, with the owners and the players. And I imagine player, like, that's going to happen, whether there's a lockout or something, the players are going to get their fair share. I guarantee it. Like, there's just too much upwards trajectory, too much of it being the players too. It's all the players. It's not like, I think Sabrina Merchant was saying it on the Athletic pod, where she was a little like, she was like, when the WNBA first started, it was all NBA owners that had WNBA franchises. And, you know, the NBA owners, it being just this capitalistic society, we're just like, we're not making money. And then they pull out and now they want back in. And it's just, you know, there's a reason for that. The league just feels like it's just skyrocketing, and to me it's all the players, and the league's just feasting off of the Caitlin wave, off of the Angel wave, off of the Paige wave, and then realizing, oh, we have like already our LeBron James and Asia Wilson's here. Like,
I remember when we talked to Sabrina the first time, and I think I said something to the effect of, it didn't seem like the WNBA was ready from a marketing perspective last year to take advantage of the new popularity. And I think they're doing a lot better, but that is also my fear by them expanding so quickly, is that they're just behind the eight ball when it comes to being able to market this thing correctly to make, you know, money off of the league and such. So that is something to keep an eye on, but there will be growing pains 100%, because you can't just add five teams and think about all these rosters. Like, are you going to invest in a full roster knowing that every year there's going to be like four or five players unprotected? Does that mean that players are going to get less years? Is everyone going to be on a 1 year deal? Just, you know, unless they're like a super duper star, like that's kind of interesting the way that they're handling that. All right, let's quickly fast forward. I just wanted to mention the WNBA All-Star starters have been named. Aaliyah Boston, Paige Beckers, which was a little bit of a surprise in her first rookie season, Caitlin Clark, Nafisa Collier, Alicia Gray, Sabrina Ionescu, I always screw that one up, Nneka Agumike, Satu Sabali, Brianna Stewart, Asia Wilson are your 10 starters, and they are going to do a draft at some point with Nafisa and Caitlin making the picks, and then we also have to announce the reserves. The politics behind this thing was so interesting, because there's a lot of people who are mad that Caitlin was like ninth in the player vote or something, and I was like, She hasn't even played half the season. Like, if you're trying to gauge who deserves to play in this All-Star game based off of playing the whole season, Caitlin's only played in probably a little bit more than half the games.
What is even Paige's games played, though?
True.
Wasn't she like concussioned for a little bit?
Yeah, and I think, again, that some of that had to do with the fan vote, because she was, I think she was sixth in the fan vote overall.
Wow.
Actually, you know what? What's interesting is I don't know. I imagine Angel Reese did really well in the fan vote, but she did, because she didn't get selected. I don't see the numbers here. But the whole politics of it is so interesting. Like, Nneka Ogumike, out of the starters, she had the least amount of fan votes, less than 400,000 fan votes. But I'm assuming she just ranked really high from the players voting. It's 50% fan, 25% player, and 25% media is how they are determined. So, are we going to get?
Remember what I said though. Like, you'd think, right? Valkyries have sold out every game, and you think that we'd have a player high in the fan vote, but I said they couldn't like coalesce around like one player to like
Kayla started a little bit too late. I think that would have been the one if she was playing like she's been playing.
But every graphic had Kayla, Veronica, Kate, Temi. Like there were just too many players on all the graphics that they were marketing. They should have just went with Kayla and Veronica. I wouldn't be surprised if Kate ended up getting the most fan votes.
That'd be interesting to see.
I think Kayla should be an all-star.
Yeah,
100%.
I hope so. I hope they get one, and it'll be great because you have the most rabid fan base in the league, or one of them. There are a couple of rabid fan bases, and I know Golden State is right up there. Okay, so I've created this for our socials called the Quickest Take. So this is a short one. Give me your reasons why the Valkyries make the playoffs this year.
The Valkyries make the playoffs because they... Wow, this is, I'm already thinking about it. It's not the quickest take. I don't know. They keep surprising people every single game. They keep surprising people. I think Sabrina said it on the Athletic podcast too. It's like they just keep surprising me. They keep beating good teams. They have like one of the best home records in the league. We'll have to see how they do on the away side, as they have a big away a road trip coming up. But I think it's just players stepping up, and I think in the beginning of when we started doing this, I was like, okay, we got Tip Hayes. Like that's probably our best player. And then, she dealt with some injuries in her face for the good start of the season. And Kayla stepped up and became our best player. And now Tip's back. And now Janelle's back. And now it's just, you have this roster that everyone complements each other and everyone works hard and plays hard. They all do the stuff that you want to see from a winning team, where you're making the extra play, you're diving on the ground, you're getting those rebounds, those, long rebounds, and just all playing together. And you don't really have an outshining ego in the locker room. Everyone knows that, they were the sixth woman on their team and they're all coming to play and I just think that all that stuff that, we kind of knew from team building perspectives kind of feels like the Valkyries have shown you could throw it out the window. You don't need a one, just, get all these players that complement each other. It's kind of like, remember how we were making fun of the Chicago Bulls GM? Cause he was like, do I want, like, after the trade deadline this past season, he was like, do I want like one best player or two best players, or do I just want 10 to 11 really good players? And I'll go with the latter. And we were like, this guy is just get fired. The Valkyries kind of represent that in a way of just, we have so many players that can just fill in for the spots down the roster. And I think that, I think the overall point, of this 2 to 3 minute quick spiel that you'll have to cut into 30 seconds is that, seems like every single game, they want it more. Skylar Diggins had a quote, I believe, her press conference was just basically praising that fact. And like, she's not happy that they lost and not happy saying this, but she was like, they just wanted it more than us. And
did she F-bomb them during the quote?
She F-bombed him a lot during the game. plays with emotion. And she is so
good.
And
you know what? She's a bucket.
Bucket. That's who I would have had over Paige in the starting and starters. But, you know, it's just they want it more, and you could tell by their actions as well.
I will quickly say, I think they have the depth to do it. Now, you're going to have to figure out the chemistry piece. But when you can go, you know, 1 through 10, 1 through 11, and be really comfortable, you're going to be able to protect some legs in this long season. Now, they're not even halfway through the season yet. They're like 40% or 45% through. There are 9 teams right now that are kind of in the mix for 8 spots. And then the drop-off for Chicago, the Sparks, Dallas, and Connecticut. I just wonder which one of those 4 teams is going to come up and, you know, fight for one of those spots. Because as long as the Valkyries are in that top 9 and they're playing close to .500 ball, I think they have a shot. And again, that depth is going to help late in the season, because I think they may have fresher legs than some of these other teams who don't have as many players that as they do. So that's why I think that they have a really good chance to make the playoffs.
Yep. And, you know, Seattle's above them at 5 at 10-7, but we know with the Sabrina scale that she has them above Seattle because they've beaten Seattle twice now, even though they're at 9-7 at the 6th.
Crushed them the second time.
Crushed them. And you know you can make the argument that they had, you know, a few more players, they could have beaten New York. Now New York was out without John Quell and Leone Fibich, but the Valkyries were without a handful of players, like to more than New York was. So, you know, even with that Phoenix game, they were down to the wire. And Steph Talbot has like 2 or 3 in a row out of bounds turnovers. They weren't on the same page as a team. And now you can convince me that you replay those games with the chemistry they've built that they, and I know that's hypothetical because maybe Phoenix has put some stuff together since then too. They got Kalia Copper back, but they just happen to be in every single one of these games. Even that game I went to against Minnesota, like you could feel like there was something, there was a chance. So I think that's going to keep, as long as, you know, barring injury, I think they're just always going to be in the mix given that the effort, like if you had an effort stat, you rate them number one, you have to.
Okay, so that's going to be it from here. We will be back next week before Brian goes to Las Vegas with another episode of Valks Valley. If you can subscribe on the YouTube, we have increased our YouTube subscribers, a lot of it because of this podcast. So appreciate all of you who are checking us out. You can always reach out to me if you have any feedback, gg@bspnmedia.com. Though I already had to ban someone from the page because he's just being negative and a jerky guy. Also, like I mentioned earlier, the audio feed, you can check us out. Just search for BSPN Bay Area Sports Podcasting Network. We have a handful of shows. We talk Giants, we talk Valkyries, we talk 49ers, and we'll have a new 49er show at some point next week, as well as the Warriors. We'll have a Warriors show later this week in the feed as well. All right, so for Bri, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other truckie.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.